Hi, and welcome back to the show. We've got a slight change to our build schedule. So rather than talking to Alessio Rastani, who's going to be on straight after this segment, I'm talking again to Tim Price, Partner and Director of Investment at PFP Wealth.
Hi.
And we're going to have a bit of a chat about inflation. Obviously, in the current environment, you know, we've had lots of people kind of confusing, you know, what's inflation, what's negative inflation, what's deflation.
Yeah, I guess my response to this would be I take quite a strict Austrian school definition. So the Austrians, that under the likes of sort of von Mises, would say that inflation is always at base is an expansion of the money supply. And so what when people talk about inflation as a generalized rise in the price of goods or services, that's a second order effect. But inflation is always primarily money creation, which we've clearly had no shortage of over the course of the last 5+ years through any number of iterations of QE policy. And by the same token, deflation isn't necessarily simply falling prices or falling assets. It's also money destruction. So that for me is a much more nuanced and maybe scientific way of looking at the debate.
I mean, so from the kind of Austrian point of view, from the Mises, from the Hayek point of view, are we seeing deflation in the UK? Are we at risk of seeing that in the UK?
I think the jury's still out. I mean, people are concerned about, and we touched on this a little bit earlier, people are concerned about falling prices. But in the context of, say, I mean, there's only really been one episode in financial history where you had pronounced proper deflation. That was the 1930s. We've had sort of a more isolated example more recently in the context of Japan. But again, I think we mentioned briefly, you know, some of the survey that the Bank of Japan had done. Deflation in Japan was seen as some kind of bugbear, some kind of monstrous happening. The reality is if you're basically solvent, whether that's as an individual or as a corporate, you know, falling prices is great for you. It just means it improves your purchasing power. So the way I personally think this whole sort of debt crisis is going to get resolved is through, you know, if you like, sort of classic inflation in both the Austrian and in the sort of more generally accepted sense. There's too much debt in the world. It's unlikely to be defaulted away because the system's too big for that. It gets inflated away in that sense. So you have money creation, and then at a second order impact, you have, you know, a proper sort of classic inflation with rising prices, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The real value of the debt gets eroded over time. That's surely the only way you can deal with this.
Yeah, I mean, the kind of Austrian school and the Austrian view has kind of slightly set out of fashion. Yet we kind of had this big resurgence of the Austrian view when QE kicked in, because it was a great opportunity for people to put across those arguments to say, you know, look at the kind of wealth destruction, look at this, look at people trying to inflate their way out of problems, look at this, the kind of erosion of the currency. But we still have those risks in place because people look at the headline, look at headline inflation, and obviously, inflation is a push and a pull. Mm. You know, it's not just that one number. You can have good inflation, bad inflation, kind of pulling in opposite directions. And so, although inflation may not move, you can still have that kind of expansion, that you still have the managing phenomenon of inflation while things are getting crushed on the other side.
And also the figures are, you know, hugely distorted. I mean, they're massively manipulated. So I'm not sure anyone, certainly in sort of city circles, really believes that CPI is exactly what it's claimed to be, or RPI, or harmonized consumer prices, or whichever is the sort of the latest sort of inflation du jour. But it just strikes me that the way this is likely to, you know, to unfurl is going to be effectively a destruction of purchasing power. That if central banks are determined to keep interest rates artificially suppressed at low levels, and they're also determined to squash the whole of the yield curve, which it looks like they're intending to do as well. So, you know, the bond market vigilantes don't get to necessarily to ride back into town. Then the only real safety valve pressure release is the currency. And Mises said this himself, that if you're at the terminal stage of a credit boom, then actually the only real way, if you're not willing to abandon further credit creation, then you can destroy the currency. The currency system goes. And that to me is the big risk of the route that we're going down now.
I mean, that had been, from my point of view, it had been the saving grace of the kind of common currency. That it did keep, you know, think about the destruction that would have been wrought upon Greek savers, that very rare of beasts, the Greek saver, on the Italian saver, had they had recourse to their central banks. At least from one point of view, it did keep them honest. They did have some form of sound money in place, just because for political reasons, the Greek government could not devalue their way out of their problems. Mm. They could not erode their currency. They could not inflate their way out of debt, the Italians and that kind of thing. Just imagine the kind of destruction that would have been wrought, you know, had they had free reign. So there's that kind of argument.
I mean, Greece is an interesting one. It's amazing how sort of sanguine the markets now are about a possible Grexit, because that was never the case, you know, back at the height of the crisis.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we kind of had a quick 5-minute block here, so we had a quick riff on a few Austrian themes there. So thank you very much for that, Tim. And we look forward to talking you away to Cancun for a bit of sun. But when you're back, you're spending your fiat currency away on holiday. But when you're back, we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
So straight after the break, we're talking to Alessio Ristani, independent market trader of leadingtrader.com. See you shortly.